is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. Can the president unilaterally change the law? We're preparing our brief for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
Sometimes when I talk to immigration advocates, you know, they wish I could just bypass Congress and change the law myself. But that's not how democracy works.
These are the kind of lawful actions taken by every president, Republican and Democrat, for the past 50 years. So when members of Congress question whether I have the authority to do this, I have one answer: yes, and pass a bill.
Now, I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own, but that's not how our system works.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The legal battle over President Obama's executive action on immigration, well, it's heating up. During a hearing, a federal judge scolding a Justice Department attorney, suggesting the administration misled him on when certain parts of the executive orders would take effect. The judge saying, quote, "And like an idiot, I believe that."
In our view, President Obama's actions are unconstitutional. President Obama's actions are unlawful. President Obama's actions violate the separation of powers. And in conclusion, even with sympathy to the cause of immigration reform, impatient presidents may not violate the Constitution if they don't get their way.
The problem is that, you know, I'm the President of the United States. I'm not the Emperor of the United States. My job is to execute laws that are passed.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on the air, our phone lines are open for you this Monday. A lot to talk about. We are preparing to file our brief in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. This is on the issue involving President Obama's executive overreach, we believe unconstitutional overreach when it comes to the issue of course, it was an immigration issue, but really the issue here is presidential power and the expansion of the deferred action for childhood arrivals to the parents of the childhood arrivals and millions of people. And can the president do this unilaterally? The courts have been very skeptical. You may remember that the district court in Texas, where there's a whole issue about whether the Department of Justice could get into some trouble, their attorneys, because they told the judge that none of this was going into force when, in fact, it was. That's come to light in the last few weeks, and even more so, there could be sanctions there for the attorneys who told the judge this information. But also on the issues, the substantive issues are now making it their way through court. You remember the stay issue got an emergency appeal. This is the injunction. You know, an injunction is very substantive. Now, it's not the whole case. This is still procedural. But it's, you know, when you issue an injunction like this to prevent something from going into force, that's not just during the proceedings themselves, like a stay. This is different. That's what's going to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. A number of members of Congress have signed on to our brief. We want you to be part of it as well. To do so, you can call our toll-free number right now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. You can sign and join that committee online. Add your name to this brief to stop President Obama's unconstitutional executive overreach here. And do not get caught up on just the immigration issue. Remember, this is an issue about presidential power. It would set the stage for future presidents as well. How much could they do that directly conflicts with the law that's on the books? These are not gray areas. These are direct conflicts with our existing law. Instead of working with Congress and going through the normal process, how a bill becomes a law, they're going around and acting unilaterally. And if we let it happen here, what's to stop it on other issues? Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We'll also talk about what's happened in Texas. We'll get an update on that as well when we come back from the break. 877-989-2255. You want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110.
Thank you. The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration's case is now before a federal appeals court. The Constitution is clear. The president is not a king. Yet President Obama directly violated the Constitution by imposing his lawless executive action on immigration. The ACLJ is leading the charge to defend the Constitution in court. We've already filed several key briefs in this case, and now a critical amicus brief is due in just a matter of days. We're representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read will be available in bookstores nationwide on May 19th. Order your copy today online at undemocraticbook.com. That's undemocraticbook, all one word, .com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. My dad is joining us now as well. We are talking about, of course, the court case. We want to add your name to our committee to stop President Obama's unconstitutional overreach. This involves the immigration action, executive action by the Obama administration. And, of course, we are going to update you on what the news coming out of Texas. And, Dad, I will say that the news now, we know that one of the shooters involved here, a convert to Islam known to the FBI, was charged with trying to join the terrorist group Al-Shabaab in Somalia back in 2007, was found that there wasn't enough evidence there, but got 3 years probation. So this is someone who's been on the FBI's radar and the intelligence community's radar for a number of years, and we now know he was involved in this attack in Texas.
Yeah, and you've got to ask yourself, why in the world, if we knew somebody like this was out there and we were not monitoring them closer? And I don't know if the White House has made a statement yet, but the fact of the matter is, this is an act of terrorism. It ties exactly into the fact that we have porous borders in Texas, although this guy seems to be born in America. But the reality is, if you look at what the vulnerability is on the southern border, the reason we're fighting so hard on the executive action, the president's immigration overreach, is it's lawlessness. And this allows a very porous border, which can result in more incidents where you've got individuals crossing. We know there's reports coming out, because there's a Freedom of Information Act request, that in fact, on our southern border, there are ISIS training camps and updated training camps. And we've got a brand new book coming out called Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, and Our Liberties and Freedom. Folks, we encourage you to pre-order the book. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's a hard copy book, but you can also get the e-copy. It's called Undemocratic because we go into all of this. We look at all these government agencies and how their ineptitude is in part and parcel by these government bureaucrats that are creating all these rules and regulations that stifle freedom and liberty, and at the same time are not advancing and protecting our national security interests, which is exactly what's really at play here. Now, Jordan, the latest information that I'm picking up, obviously I'm on the road, the talk that I'm hearing and just talking with people generally and with some conversations I've had with former TSA officials, is this approach of what took place in Texas, we may well see more. But I don't know if that's being reported nationally right now. What is the sense?
Well, the White House has already has not issued a formal statement, but Josh Earnest talked to on the Air Force One, talked to reporters and said that there's no act of expression, even if it's offensive, that justifies an act of violence, that the president was informed last night of the violence outside Dallas. They do call them extremists. They don't, of course, they're not going to, even though we now know it's 100% confirmed, these are radical Islamists, and that's their motivation was there. Religious faith, and these are known terror suspects to the U.S. government. The U.S. government has tried to put these guys, at least one of them, behind bars before for trying to join terror groups. And the ISIS link, there were some in within Twitter accounts, social media accounts that have been followed closely by the media and intelligence agencies as well that were predicting this and also then commenting after the fact. And so some have been linked to one of the gunmen. Others have been linked to ISIS, kind of those known to act within ISIS around the world. And so a pre-planned attack, it was a known event. There was a lot of security there. And I think, you know, they had serious weapons on them, assault weapons. If this was not in Texas and there weren't 60 security guards and instead maybe just a couple, you could have had a situation very similar to what happened in France. But this was a place where they had significant SWAT team security. There was a pro-Islam event earlier in the year in January, and they had a lot of security there. So this event known to the community, wasn't some secret event, and because of that security, they were ready for anything. And you saw the bravery there. That's why, you know, we talk about the issues involving police that are happening in some of the communities around the country right now, places like Baltimore and Ferguson. But the truth is, last night was an example of exactly why these police are so important and protecting these communities, not just the people who are at the event, but the people from Garland, Texas, outside Dallas. So, again, there's a lot of concern about the number of people who may be radicalized to this extent, looking for these kind of opportunities. And of course, again, there was only one injury. The two who opened fire were killed, but only one injury. One of the security guards was injured, but that was not life-threatening. And so we'll continue to monitor that as more information comes out about the second gunman as well, who else was involved here, and whether there's any links to other terrorists, whether they're working with a larger apparatus as well. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. And Dad, I know this is one of those issues we look at, the president's kind of singular focus on this immigration unilateral action, and there's concern about the border, there's concern about our security, even with known terrorists that are coming back, you know, 5-6 years later and then carrying out an attack like this.
Has the White House called it an act of terrorism, or are they just calling it violence?
They have not. They have not. They have called it an act of violence.
Yeah. Well, this is the problem when you don't name the enemy. We've said this over and over again. And whatever one thought of that conference that was taking place in Texas, the fact is we have a First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which allowed those people to meet and have that art exhibit the way they wanted to have it. And may not be tasteful to some people, but the fact is, that's what freedom is about. And when you have someone come in under the banner of jihad, and they come in to destroy life, which is what they were trying to do here, the fact of the matter is, it is an act of jihadist terror. And again, the administration doesn't want to say this. And we pointed this out time and time again. And folks, if you want to talk to us about this, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. You got to ask yourself, why is the president still refusing? Why don't they just go? We know all the evidence. We've got a lot of the evidence now. Just say what it is. But they won't do it. 800-684-3110. But the president is very quick to release the security on our border, let in basically without checking, granting a form of amnesty, and does this without congressional oversight. And that, of course, he thinks is fine. And this is, again, kind of the thematic of our book, Undemocratic, where we get into this at great length, how unelected and unaccountable bureaucrats are stealing our freedom and making us vulnerable. And I want to encourage everyone that's listening to the broadcast now. We did this with Rise of ISIS, and it was actually Jordan's idea. We wanted Rise of ISIS to get on the New York Times bestsellers list because it set the tone for the debate. And it sure did. It reached number one on the New York Times bestsellers list. And it's been the leading book and continues to be, as other books are coming out now, which is great, on this topic of ISIS. But now this is a domestic situation, which has international implications. And we've written the book Undemocratic for exactly that reason, to address these problems, to resist wrongs, to reform government, and to restore our constitutional republic. But we need everybody to engage this, and that includes pre-ordering it and get copies for your friends, because we want to – the pre-orders are critical. The book comes out May 19th. You can get the electronic version wherever you get your e-books, whether it's Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or Apple Books, or you can order the hard copy. It will be delivered to you, shipped out this May 19th. It's called Undemocratic. It's by me, and we encourage you to get that.
Folks, so we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. We want you to be a part of this committee to stop President Obama's executive and what we believe unconstitutional overreach here. You can do that by calling our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to ACLJ.org. Let's go to Richard in California online, too. Richard, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, and God bless you. I'm not a lawyer, but I am a minister, and I'm unclear, and I am violently opposed to this overreach, but I'm unclear as to the difference between President Obama's overreach and what Ronald Reagan did with his blanket amnesty back decades ago.
Well, the one main difference is legislation, Dad. I mean, that's the truth, Richard, is that one was backed up by the support of law and one is not.
Yeah, that's right. And so, and by the way, I think what Ronald Reagan did in that case was constitutionally suspect, and I said that at a hearing before the Congress a couple of weeks ago. But at least there was legislation backing up the president's action. Here there's none. In fact, the legislation is to the contrary. The president said, acknowledged 32 times that he did not have the authority, yet he did it anyway. And that's precisely why we are saying you got to fight back. You got to take it back. And I want to encourage people to sign on to this committee. This brief's going into the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. We've won at the trial court. We now have to win at the Fifth Circuit. We just have a few days to get the brief in. Call us at 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or sign up at ACLJ.org. But we want thousands of them. And also, again, folks, we go to the break. Go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books, and pre-order our book, Undemocratic. That will help also get this issue front and center as we continue to tackle these issues.
Folks, we come back. We will continue to take more of your phone calls. If you want to talk to us, the number to call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll talk about what's happening in Texas as well. What we believe is a terror attack. As the more information comes out, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read will be available in bookstores nationwide on May 19th. Order your copy today online at undemocraticbook.com. That's undemocraticbook, all one word, .com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration's case is now before a federal appeals court. The Constitution is clear. The president is not a king. Yet President Obama directly violated the Constitution by imposing his lawless executive action on immigration. The ACLJ is leading the charge to defend the Constitution in court. We've already filed several key briefs in this case, and now a critical amicus brief is due in just a matter of days. We're representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. One of the shooters in Texas has been identified as Elton Simpson. He is a convert to Islam known to the FBI and the federal government because he was charged, stemming back from attempt he had made to join al-Shabaab in Somalia, the terror group which has been linked to those atrocities in Kenya and the attacks on Christians and also attacked linked to the larger al-Qaeda apparatus as well. Back in 2007, he was charged and went to court in 2010. Judge found that there was enough evidence to tie him directly, to go to jail for attempting to join a terror organization, but he did get 3 years probation. So he has been known. He's lives in Arizona. His apartment now is being searched. We don't know about the second shooter yet. That information has not yet been released. If this is also someone who is linked, or if it's someone who has been relatively unknown. There were Twitter accounts tweeting about this just moments before the attack occurred in Texas at this free speech event. And, Dad, one thing I wanted to say to everybody listening right now, because there is a discussion, it's a provocative group. And, of course, we're okay with that in the United States of America. And so you're seeing some on the left start to, and the White House hasn't done that. Now, they have not called this terrorism, but they still see, this is wrong, of course, not blaming the group. But what we see, when we saw what happened with the Charlie Hebdo, and that was a group that was extremely offensive to a number of people. They were not praised necessarily by anyone in the kind of the mainstream in France or in Europe and in the journalism world. But then when it came, after the attack, you saw the praise. And if just for the idea of freedom of speech and the idea that you can offend. And, I think if we're going to be defenders of that, we have to be defenders of this group as well. It doesn't matter what side of your political aisle you're on.
Right.
That is what is kind of upsetting to me, is that everybody ran to the defense of Charlie Hebdo, and you're not seeing that here necessarily.
Well, this is the duplicity of the hard left. And the fact of the matter is, this is whatever you think of the group that was sponsoring the event, everything they did was protected within the context of the First Amendment, the freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, and the freedom of association. And the idea that a group of jihadist terrorists can open fire on a group and not have universal condemnation is absurd. And the president, though, coming out and calling it, or the White House saying this is violence, an act of violence, again, misses the mark. And this is because, and I said this earlier, and this is the reason I wrote the new book that we've got coming out, Undemocratic. The fact is, these bureaucrats that are entrenched in these agencies, whether it's Immigration and Naturalization, whether it's the State Department itself, they have an agenda. And they're going to get their agenda through no matter what we do, no matter what we try to do, unless we, the American people, say enough of this. And this is the perfect example. You got a porous southern border. You got a president engaging in executive overreach in unbelievable proportions. And we've got this act of violence on the border. Now, these people seem to be that they were already in the United States, but we know that there are, at least the reports are, that there's terrorist training camps right in the south of our border. And you've got this, the president just doing whatever he wants unchecked. So, again, folks, I want to encourage you, get our book, Undemocratic. We want you to pre-order. It'll come out May 19th. We want you to pre-order it now because we want it on that New York Times list. That will get it the attention that we want it to have. But also, sign up and sign our brief. We're going to be filing with members of Congress to the Fifth Circuit on the president's overreaches, unconstitutional violation of the separation of powers and the overreach. And I was going to ask this to Van Jordan. What is the status right now of members of Congress joining us on this brief, Van?
It's very significant momentum, Jay. Right now, we had 68 members of Congress at the district court level. We currently have 85 members of Congress. It includes 14 senators. Folks are going to remember Chairman Goodlatte in the House of Representatives, who invited you to testify. He's really been at the forefront of this effort. But we're also joined by both Texas senators who are leading the charge on the Senate side. Remember, Texas is the lead state in this litigation. But this is what I think is so significant here, and you've mentioned how important this is a number of times. The members of Congress on this brief take a wide variety of views on the underlying immigration policy. Some of them are for comprehensive immigration reform, including Chairman Goodlatte. But the point here is the president has overstepped his executive authority in this situation. He has taken it directly from members of Congress. And the real question here is, going forward, and Jordan made this point in the opening segment of the broadcast, going forward, is the executive, is the president going to be able to write laws in the future, or is that authority going to be retained by Congress? That's why we have such a divergent group of members on the underlying immigration issue signing this brief. We have 85 members as we speak. I suspect that will be over 100 by the time we file next week.
Folks,
go ahead, Jordan.
We are going to continue to take your phone calls. I encourage you, go to aclj.org. The information is there on the case. We want you to be part of this committee and join those members of Congress that Dan was talking about there. We need your support here. Go to aclj.org or call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. To talk to us on air, the number you call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jason is calling in from California on line one. Jason, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, I have a question about immigration, but I also have another question about international law. My first question is that I'm concerned about Ukrainians, Russians that fled from the former Soviet Union, and some of them came here on guest visas because other family members were here and they came to visit and have stayed and have tried to get permanent, status. And Obama is protecting some of them with his executive action on immigration, as well as some people that helped us when the communists were trying to take over in Central America down Nicaragua. I know of a few guys that were freedom fighters and are here because, they don't feel safe being down in Nicaragua. And then there's the whole question of there's some Chinese people that want to have their second child and come to America on tourist visas, and then stay so that they can have their child here. And those children could be killed by the Chinese government because of the one child policy. And what are we going to do for them?
Well, I think, Jason, and I'll go to my dad as well, but you're describing not the normal immigration system and the definition, but really the refugee and asylum. And that's a different area of law entirely. I think you're right to say, it can be related. There may be people who much further down the road, like some of the people you're talking about from the former Soviet Union, where it's now kind of crossing over into an immigration issue as well. They didn't get the right paperwork. But generally in these situations, America has welcomed in people in those from those difficult places, whether it's Ukrainians fleeing violence, whether it's Russians, whether it's Chinese dissidents. And so it's not to say that that's perfect either. The asylum process or the refugee process is perfect either in the United States. But certainly it's a different area of law. And this has nothing to do with that, the president's action here. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. We got a second half hour coming up. We want you to join our committee here to protect the Constitution. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign and join this committee right online. It's very simple to do. aclj.org. A new letter from Syed Abedini has been posted to aclj.org. Share that with your friends and family. I'm not the king, I just sing.
We're representing representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're preparing to file our brief at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to stop President Obama's unconstitutional executive overreach. We want you to join with us. If you will call our toll-free number now, it's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and join this committee online. We are continuing to update you on what's happened in Texas. We've got information. One of the gunmen has been identified. His name is Elton Simpson. Elton Simpson has been linked to terrorism in the past, going back to 2007 in July, when the FBI, and ultimately there were charges brought against him by the Department of Justice. In a 2010 trial, he was not found guilty. This judge said there was not enough evidence to find him guilty of trying to join a terror group, but he was sentenced to 3 years probation because he lied to the investigators, and so he was a known problem. I mean, he's on the record. They thought he was trying to join Al-Shabaab, who carried out that horrific attack in Kenya at the university and also at the mall, and specifically targeting Christians, that he was linked to that. So this is not someone who was totally out of the blue. We don't know about the second shooter yet. Of course, the good news here in this is that there was enough security where the one injury that occurred, the two gunmen were killed, but the one injury that occurred to one of the security guards, he's already out of the hospital. And so, again, it was something that could have been. They had serious weapons with them, much worse. So thankful that that was not the case. But at the same time, it underscores that we've got these folks here that the coordination, the targeting, that's really what we want to get into, is how linked to a wider network these individuals may have been, and were they working? Did they get any training? And of course, they were going up against Texas SWAT teams, and so it didn't last long. But again, it just shows you the lack of understanding. One, this is an act of terrorism. It's an act of terrorism. When you have an event like this and someone attacks, that's terrorism. And so we look at what kind of terrorism is it? Well, this is radical Islamic terrorism because it's inspired by their faith. We'll talk about that more when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Now, Than, I want to go to the brief again. We talked about that briefly before going into the break and the half part of the show. But to tell people, they will be joining with a number of members of Congress, both from the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Yeah, currently, Jordan, there are 85 members of Congress on this brief, led by 14 senators, including the two Texas senators, Senator Cornyn and Senator Cruz. Also, 71 members of the House, led by Chairman Bob Goodlatte and former Chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Lamar Smith from Texas. Obviously, he's got that interest being from Texas, so he is one of our four leaders on this. But the main message that these members of Congress are saying is not one of immigration policy. They are saying one We want to jealously defend the Article I authority to write the law in the United States that the United States Constitution gives to us. And, you know, a previous caller brought up some previous executive actions here. In those cases, Jordan, the Congress could have objected to those actions as well. They didn't do it. In fact, if there was much objection to them, they thought those presidents didn't go far enough in implementing the law that they passed in 1986. In this case, the Congress, in very large numbers, have taken a stand, and they have said that President Obama infringed on their powers. This brief will make that argument for them. If you sign our brief, I think you'll be standing with more than 100 members of Congress in the end.
Folks, we want to hear from you. You can call and add your name to the brief by calling our toll-free number. That's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org and sign the brief online. And remember, if you want to talk to us on air, you call now 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration's case is now before a federal appeals court. The Constitution is clear. The president is not a king. Yet President Obama directly violated the Constitution by imposing his lawless executive action on immigration. The ACLJ is leading the charge to defend the Constitution in court. We've already filed several key briefs in this case, and now a critical amicus brief is due in just a matter of days. We're representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read will be available in bookstores nationwide on May 19th. Order your copy today online at undemocraticbook.com. That's undemocraticbook, all one word, .com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are continuing to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Thayne Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, joining me here in Washington, D.C. There's plenty to talk about. Of course, the situation involving the case that we're working on, the situation in Texas. I want to go to the Iran legislation, too, because we talked about that all last week in the amendments and Saeed Abedini's situation. We'll talk about that with Thayne as well. And I do have to tell you, folks, that online at aclj.org, Pastor Saeed Abedini's birthday is on Thursday. Interestingly, that's Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. So his birthday, which is May 7th, is the same day as the National Day of Prayer. He has posted a new letter online. It's in both language, both English and Farsi, at aclj.org. He'll be turning 35. And again, you can see that, share it with your friends and family. It's online, aclj.org, Pastor Saeed's birthday wish. He calls for a prayer for America and prayer for our country, his country, the United States. So I want you to go and check that out online at aclj.org. And make sure you share it with friends and family. Maybe later in the broadcast, I'll read some of that letter for everybody. But I think it's very powerful if you will share that. aclj.org to do just that. We will go right to the phones now. Let's go to Paul calling from New York on line 3. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great show you do. I love what you do. Doing excellent things for this country. I've listened to the radio, and it's amazing to me that this man, Elton, was brought into charges on 2007, and then all of a sudden in 2010 just let go, you know? I mean, but as far as that goes, I listen to a lot of conservative radio stations, a lot of talk programs and stuff like that. Everybody's talking about the same thing, his overreach, his unauthoritative powers, this and that. It doesn't seem like anybody wants to do anything about it. I mean, I know what you guys are talking about, but in general, outside of your show, it doesn't seem like anybody, news on TV, radio, nobody is concerned about which direction this country is going. It just seems like everybody's in the same pot that he's in. And I find it very odd that somebody who's very against him, they go into a room with the closed doors, no one hears nothing, they come out and they're arm in arm. It's like, I believe truly, honestly, my heart of hearts, the only thing that's going to move anything is a majorly, majorly, heavily protected and guarded, godly movement towards him. Because in my opinion, this is all evil. And the only thing that's going to disperse evil is God. And the biggest...
Well, let me say, I think some to your point, Paul, some to your point is that people are already looking past this presidency. That's the interesting thing about the United States, is that it's kind of like, okay, this has been really bad, but, you know, we're moving on, and there's this other election coming up, and so we're starting to focus on that. And I think that that's where you can get into trouble. You start forgetting that this president could be setting future precedent. And you think about, it's cannot predict who the next president of the United States is going to be, and certainly can't do that right now. But let's say it's someone like Hillary Clinton, and now she's got a precedent like he's created here with the situation involving the immigration issue. Except it's not just about immigration. It's ability for a president to basically say, well, if there's a problem and I can't get Congress to work with me, and even though there's congressional law that directly conflicts with what I want to do, I can do it to some extent, at least temporarily. I will have this kind of executive power, and I can get around Congress. Not limited just the immigration issue. You know, that's where they like to get everyone caught up, is they like to get everyone caught up on the immigration part of this and not the executive power part of this discussion. And the truth is, it's become a huge stumbling block to getting actual comprehensive immigration reform done in the United States, which is something that has to be done. We have a system that is broken, a system that's not working, and it makes it that much more difficult to get there when you have the president step in this way. But then, you know, ultimately, that is what we're doing. We're working with members of Congress who are also standing up, who are not just looking towards the future, but are ready to fight right now.
Yeah, something I've said from the very beginning on this one, Jordan, is that I actually think what the president did here was motivated by the fact that he didn't want to share political credit, because there was going to be a comprehensive immigration bill that was going to land on his desk, and he did not want to share that with Congress. But I would say this to Paul. One of the very wonderful things about the American way of government is that there are multiple layers of recourse available to us, and we try to engage all of those at the ACLJ. Now, he was talking a little bit about Congress, and I think Congress has done a very good job in some ways of pushing back against presidential authority. This brief is one example. They have taken the proper recourse. I don't think they've done a very good job in other ways of pushing back, so it depends on the issue you're talking about. But, Jordan, in the courts, and both you and your dad have talked about it today on today's radio broadcast, we are winning this one. We won at the district court. We have an injunction in place. The president's plan cannot proceed as it currently stands. Now, we have to continue to fight that through the avenue available to us. Now we're at the Fifth Circuit. It might ultimately end at the Supreme Court. But I would just say to Paul, before you give up on the avenues of recourse that are available to us, let's see them through, because on this one, we are currently winning.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Just to underscore what Dan has said, we are winning this issue. This is one that in federal court, the district court level, its arguments have gone well at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. This could be ultimately something that gets all the way to the United States Supreme Court, because it defines the limits of presidential power, not merely because of the immigration issue. In fact, that's kind of the subpart of the issue here. The main issue is how much power does the president have, the executive have, to act, even when that action is in contradiction with the law? Now, there are times when the law is so unclear that presidents have a little bit more leeway in kind of figuring out, how do I faithfully execute the laws of the United States? One of the, you know, president's jobs. That's the executive branch. Put in place the laws. Actually put those laws into force. And so we see, I'll use the Affordable Care Act, a perfect example of a huge piece of legislation that empowers the federal government through the executive branch and agencies to create all these new rules that aren't included in the law. There, a little bit more gray area. Congress has said, you need to figure out how to implement this. I'm not saying I agree with that, but that's probably the most recent example of something comprehensive like this that's such a serious piece of legislation. And what happens? Well, there are times when, you know, there's lots of the regulations they've implemented that are not so controversial, that they're just trying to carry out the purpose of the law. There's others which are in that gray area, but seem to be unconstitutional. They're being challenged in court. So you see that, you know, that's not necessarily so strange. But in this situation, there's not a new law. There's existing law on the books. What he's doing is in direct conflict with that law. And instead of working with Congress on getting a real fix, what's he doing? He's trying to do it on his own. That is the problem here. It's why the administration has run into trouble in court. If it was such a slam dunk case for them and it was so easy, they would have won this right off the bat. But instead, they're getting injunctions, stays issued against them. They're what looked like lying to the judge. I mean, you know, and they're in some serious trouble there at the district court about lying to the judge about whether this program was going into force. There are a lot of problems with their argument, and it's why we cannot stop the fight. We can't say, okay, well, moving on, because this will have long-term ramifications one way or the other. It will either limit presidential power to some extent, at least provide some of the boundaries, which are so important, or, on the other hand, it's going to expand it to a level that we have never seen before. We want you to be a part of this. You can add your name to our brief. You call 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. When we come back from the next break, I will continue to take more of your phone calls. If you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. In fact, let's take that call now. Scott calling in from New Hampshire on line one. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
You know, thank you so much. I appreciate what you do and the spirit in which it's done. You know, maybe I'm missing something here, but I have a question. We have a president that continually violates law, that continually operates a country as if it were a private kingdom, and we're subjects, continually frustrates Congress, and bypasses every check and balance we have. You know, and maybe I'm the only one that wonders this, but why hasn't somebody brought forth impeachment charges? I mean, we've had presidents impeached when they violate the law, when they lie, when they misrepresent.
Yep.
And this man has made a career of this.
Well, Scott, yeah, I get the frustration. I do. I mean, it's been one thing after another with this administration. Now, here's what I will say. When they take this action, we challenge it in court. If they lose, if the Obama administration loses, President Obama loses in court, the issue would be is, did he still try to move forward? Did he try to violate the court's order when the court said this is unconstitutional and you can't do that? And that's when you start talking about the issues you are getting at. Until you're at that point, so long as at the end of the day they abide by what the courts have said and whether or not they have violated the power, whether they violated their constitutional powers, then you don't get there yet. So that's where the distinction is, Scott. That being said, we have to fight. And we know that that's not there. Those votes are not there in the House or the Senate. Where can we win? We can win in court. We can win in the court of public opinion as well. Folks, we want you to stand with us. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Make sure to go to aclj.org and see that new letter from Pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran, his birthday coming up on Thursday. Share it with your friends and family.
America. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read will be available in bookstores nationwide on May 19th. Order your copy today online at undemocraticbook.com. That's undemocraticbook, all one word, .com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration's case is now before a federal appeals court. The Constitution is clear. The president is not a king. Yet President Obama directly violated the Constitution by imposing his lawless executive action on immigration. The ACLJ is leading the charge to defend the Constitution in court. We've already filed several key briefs in this case, and now a critical amicus brief is due in just a matter of days. We're representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, in this segment of the broadcast, I'm going to take you back to the beginning of our involvement in this case when President Obama issued his executive action on immigration, effectively writing new immigration law. Chairman Bob Goodlatte of the House Judiciary Committee invited Jay in front of his committee to testify about the unconstitutional nature of that act. And I want to play you some of the sound from that very original hearing where Jay laid the legal framework for the attack on this executive action. And now, of course, filing on behalf of members of Congress led by Chairman Goodlatte at the district court and now at the Fifth Circuit. But let's go back to the beginning. This is Jay in front of the House Judiciary Committee making the argument why these acts by President Obama are unconstitutional.
Mr. Sekulow, welcome.
Chairman Goodlatte, Ranking Member Conyers, distinguished members of the committee, on behalf of the American Center for Law and Justice and over 75,000 of our members, thank you for allowing me to appear before you today. Determining presidential authority is a task which must be engaged in with only one question. Does the president's actions meet constitutional scrutiny? In this case, they do not. It is humbling for this grandson of a Russian immigrant to be before this committee today. My father is in the audience. His father, my grandfather, came to the United States in 1914. In 1929, he applied for citizenship, filed a petition for naturalization. My daughter-in-law found this online. 2 years later, a United States District Court judge in Brooklyn, New York, granted Sam Sekulow his status. She found that order as well. I believe in immigration. I'm the grandson of that Russian immigrant. I get to argue cases before the Supreme Court of the United States and appear before this committee. That's a humbling thing. Immigration law was complex for my grandfather in 1931, and it is still complex today. The Constitution, however, is not. Our system of government is straightforward. Congress writes the law, the president executes the law, the judiciary interprets the law. This is the separation of powers mandated by our Constitution. The president does not make the law. Now, with due respect, some of the statements that have been made, the president has stated that he changed the law. And I don't believe there's anyone on this committee that believes the president has the authority to change the law. He was being heckled at an event, similar to what we experienced today. There's passions on the side of the issues. I understand that. I think we all understand that. I joined Professor Rotunda, and I believe in significant and complete immigration reform. I believe in a pathway to citizenship. But I believe to do that through the legal process set forth in the Constitution. And the president doesn't get to change the law. He actually said that, though, that he changed the law. That was how he handled the question that was asked. He changed the law. Presidents cannot change the law. He can't do so constitutionally. He cannot do so under Supreme Court precedent. He can't change the law to comport with his preferred public policy, much of which I share. The president's executive action really disrupts the delicate balance of separation of powers that is the hallmark of our constitutional framework. Justice Frankfurter stated that regarding immigration and immigration issues, talking about being the exclusive power of Congress, that the formulation of these policies is entrusted exclusively to Congress. Now, 5 and 5 does not equal 15, no matter how many times you say it. And when 5 and 5 then equals 10, which is correct, that past constitutional wrong is not what made that correct. So this reliance that we've seen on some that President Reagan and President Bush and even President Eisenhower made or issued executive action or executive orders, which in some cases may be clearly distinguishable because they didn't set forth a new class, but even if they were not distinguishable, past constitutional acts do not get better with time. They are still just that, unconstitutional actions. President Obama also misplaces his reliance on the authority generally granted to the Secretary of Homeland Security. It's very different to utilize your resources to determine the status of your prosecutorial mandates and how you're going to use your limited resources. The condition of entry, though, of classes of aliens and having that denied or granted and creating a class, a new class, is not what the president has the authority to do. As sympathetic as it might be to the plight of people involved, he simply doesn't have that constitutional authority. And I think that with all the emotion we've even seen today, you have to put that aside. The question does, it comes back to the same question. Does the president have the authority? And by the way, if you look at the OLC memo and compare it to what the president said the deal was, quoting the president's word of what the deal is, I'd ask my colleague from the Immigration Law Center if she would recommend her clients accept the deal. Because the deal the president talked about did not talk about unfettered discretion with the agency that could be terminated at any time with case-by-case determination. That's not the deal the president talked about. That's not the deal the president put in place. And I would not recommend my client to accept the deal that the president has actually offered, which is very different than the deal outlined in the OLC memorandum. I would ask that to my colleague because standardless, absolute discretionary review by government agencies has been something I've been dealing with for 30 years at the Supreme Court of the United States. And it just generally does not go very well for the agency. OLC said it was required, though, for the president's actions to be deemed constitutional. As I said, I would not recommend my client to take the deal. In conclusion, in our view, President Obama's actions are unconstitutional. President Obama's actions are unlawful. President Obama's actions violate the separation of powers. And in conclusion, even with sympathy to the cause of immigration reform, impatient presidents may not violate the Constitution if they don't get their way. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think maybe listening to everyone on the panel, I think, and most of the members on the dais, we all agree that our country, its citizens, and even our immigrants need comprehensive immigration reform. And Mr. Dupree said, you've been frustrated for years over our inaction. So let's agree on that. Just for purposes of argument, does that make what the president did constitutional if it's unconstitutional?
Well, in my view, Congressman, no, it would not. And I think to Congressman Scott's point, I think it actually has hurt the debate because as you see here and you hear, there's a lot of agreement of the need for a constitutional path, a legal path of immigration reform. And when I hold my grandfather's naturalization papers up, it means a lot to me. When they call my name at the Supreme Court and say, Mr. Sekulow, we'll now hear from you, and I'm the grandson of that Russian immigrant, I get it. But the process has to be right. And I think, unfortunately, the president's action, which I still think is not only constitutionally suspect, but dangerous for the potential client, I don't think that advanced the debate. Because we're talking about, as Congressman Scott said, we're talking about this instead of getting real comprehensive immigration reform
right
through, which would include border security.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I know Ms. Sensenbrenner said we're here to figure out why he did what he did. I don't think that's helpful at all. I mean, we would probably come up with 100 different variations on why he did it. I don't think that's material. I think it's whether it's constitutional or unconstitutional.
Folks, again, that was Jay in front of the House Judiciary Committee making the very clear argument that President Obama had overreached his Article II powers and reached into the Article I powers of Congress by making new law in the area of immigration. If you want to stand with us as we continue that fight that Jay began back in the House Judiciary Committee and add your name to this committee to join the brief that we're about to file at the Fifth Circuit Court, I want you to call now. The number is 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org.
Representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.